You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette and Jim. Today I'm on my own, but let's get into it. Today we're talking about relationship tips for the soul from 90 Day Soulmate to you. 30 tips that might help in your relationship. Let's start off with 6 categories, 5 tips in each category. Number 1, red flags and deal breakers. We're going to talk about how to spot early warning signs and avoid toxic patterns before they start. Then we'll talk about number 2, trust and betrayal, dealing with cheating, dishonesty, and rebuilding or ending trust. Number 3, communication and conflict, healthy conflict resolution, better fights, clear talk, and emotional safety. Then we'll move into 4, modern dating realities, app culture, situationships, hookups, patterns, exclusivity, which are some of today's challenges. Then number 5, growth and self-love, how to heal old wounds, set boundaries, and raise your standards. And finally, number 6, myths and hot takes. Just some ideas. Maybe we'll be busting bad advice, looking at some fresh perspectives, and bold truths about love and dating. Let's get into it. The number 1 category we're talking about today is red flags and deal breakers. Number 1, love bombing and genuine affection. How to know which is which. Is this real love or are you being love bombed? What's the difference? Love bombing feels like a fairy tale. Sudden sweet words, endless calls, huge promises when they barely know you. In Victoria Dreams, or should we say, while Victoria Dreams, Victoria's inbox overflowed with 58 messages in 3 days. At first, she felt adored. Soon, she felt suffocated. Well, what to do? You know what? Slow down when something like this happens. Say, hey, I like this too, but I want to take my time and build real trust with the person. If they push you to move faster than feels safe for you, they're not building love, but they're buying control with all their attention. Real love doesn't smother you. It steadies you. It's there for the long term.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self. No room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Red flags and deal breakers number 2. Ghosting and breadcrumbing. Why do some people vanish, then reappear with, hey stranger, in a text or maybe a phone call? Ghosting stings, Bread crumbing keeps you stuck. You don't know what they're up to. It's when someone sends flirty little crumbs but never shows a real effort. They contact you but don't give you the time of day in person. In 90 Day Soulmate, our other book, which is great for relationships, Lizette wrote about a guy who texted, "Miss you," but would never make a plan, wasting months of hope. What to do? When they pop up, say, "Sure. When are you free?" Try to set up a time to meet. If they dodge or vanish or don't contact you for a few more days, block them. It's not worth your effort. You're worth more than leftover attention. If they wanted you for real, they would make a date, not an excuse. In category one, red flags and deal breakers, here's number three. Jealousy disguised as love. Is jealousy really proof that they care? Or is it an attempt to control? In While Victoria Dreams, Ricardo called Victoria 10 times an hour saying, "I just worry about you." It felt sweet at first, until she couldn't breathe. She felt smothered, like we talked about before. Real love trusts your freedom, gives you the freedom. Fake love checks your phone. Where are you? What are you doing? What are you up to? What to do? If they control your friendship, ask, "What can we do to build more trust?" If they get more controlling instead of more understanding, it's not love. It's a cage. Choose freedom. How about red flags and deal breakers? Number four, lies about the ex. Why do people lie about their ex? Usually they want a backup plan. Victoria's ex said, "Oh, she's just an old friend." Later, she found flirty selfies and secret calls to his ex. What to do? Ask directly. "Are you still in touch with your ex?" Believe actions, not excuses. Secrets today are betrayals tomorrow. In 90 Day Soulmate, we teach trust patterns, not promises. Again, trust patterns, not promises. And now there's a little difference between a couple of these things here, because we have one where we want to be able to have the freedom to check the other person's phone. But as we get into it, we'll find out that jealousy, where someone checks your phone, versus trust is a fine line at times. How about red flags and deal breakers number five? Too fast, too soon. Is moving too fast romantic? Or is it reckless? Fast sparks feel magical. We all have to admit that. Victoria once dated a man who wanted to meet her family after only 3 dates. It hid big flaws she didn't see until he showed his controlling side. So, "I want to meet your family. I want to do this. I want to do that." Moving things too fast. What to do? If they say, "I love you," very quickly, before they actually know you, you can say, "Hey, I like you too, but I want to build this properly. I want to get to know you." If they respect it, that's a good sign. If they rush harder, run. Fast love often burns fast. Real love paces itself. It takes time. It gives time. You build stronger relationship over time. It doesn't fade. We'll be back with our second category right after this.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette and Jim. Again, I'm on my own today. The second category of relationship tips for the soul is trust and betrayal. Micro-cheating. If you've heard of micro-cheating, what is that? What is micro-cheating? It's tiny betrayals that feel harmless at first, but they do crack trust. Late night flirty DMs with somebody other than you, hidden photos, just friends with an ex. In 90 Day Soulmate, in our book, we explain how small secrets can grow into big resentments. What to do? Agree on clear rules. What feels okay? What crosses the line? You need to have this discussion and agree. If you're on eggshells and you can't, maybe it's not the right relationship. If you feel the urge to hide it, it's wrong already. Honesty is cheaper than heartbreak. It's also cheaper than divorce. Number two of category two, trust and betrayal, is emotional affairs. These are affairs that aren't physical, but they're emotional. Can you cheat without touching? Yes. An emotional affair starts when you share deep secrets with someone who isn't your partner. Victoria caught herself telling her work buddy things that she didn't tell her boyfriend. It chipped away at her real relationship. This happens a lot in relationships where you start emotionally connecting with somebody about your relationship and then you find yourself drawn to them. Emotional cheating is how many physical relationships, cheating relationships, start. What to do? If you tell another person things that you hide from your partner, stop. Bring it back home. Protect your deepest thoughts. They belong where real love is. And if you find yourself not being able to speak about these deep thoughts with your partner, maybe it's the wrong partner. The third tip out of category two, trust and betrayal. Rebuilding trust after lies. Can trust be rebuilt? Yes, but not with pretty words. Victoria forgave a lie once, demanded daily transparency, open photos, no secret meetups, and honest answers from her partner. It worked because actions matched apologies. What to do? Well, if you lied, confess the whole truth once. Then live so openly in the relationship that trust can breathe again. If they lied to you, forgive slowly, but verify daily. Trust is glass. Once it's cracked and it's broken, it takes care to hold it, and it's really difficult to put back together. How about the fourth tip from trust and betrayal? Checking their phones. Should you check your partner's phone? If you feel the need, trust is already shaky. Healthy couples have privacy but no secrets. In 90 Day Soulmate, we show how real love makes phones boring because honesty is normal. So again, there's a fine line between just allowing your phone to be checked by your partner whenever and your partner trying to secretly check your phone, or the other way around. Like Lizette and I, we allow each other complete access to each other's phones, but we hardly ever feel the need to check them. What to do? Instead of snooping, ask the other person, is there something I'd find on your phone that would upset me? You could probably tell right away from their reaction what is going on. Love should not need detective work. If you're finding yourself having to check their phone and them hiding or changing the password on you, now that will build resentment and it will make you break the trust. Finally, the fifth on trust and betrayal. Can a cheater change? Should you forgive them? Sometimes, but rarely twice. One mistake with real remorse can heal. Repeated cheating is a pattern. It's not an accident. In 90 Day Soulmate, we always say one chance with proof, no repeats. What to do? If you forgive, require therapy. Open phone access between the couple. And have radical honesty. You have to be able to share thoughts, ask questions, and get truthful answers. If they slip again, love yourself more than their excuses. There are, however, in cheating, quote, something that may go beyond your ability to forgive. And what does cheating mean? Does it mean just having some emotional contact with somebody outside the relationship and realizing it and saying, hey, I did this, please forgive me? Or does it go beyond that? And you have to be comfortable with what is the limit of what you're comfortable with. We're going to move into our third category of relationship tips. This is communication and conflict. This is category three. Number one, silent treatment versus cooling off. Is ignoring your partner healthy? And when is it if it is? Silent treatment is emotional punishment. Cooling off, though, is healthy space. Victoria once stormed out mid-argument and stayed gone for hours. It made things worse. In 90 Day Soulmate, we teach to take a calm break, not an anger freeze out. What to do? Next time you're in an argument, you might want to say, I'm too upset to talk calmly now. Can we take a pause and come back in 30 minutes when emotions come down and we can think logically and discuss the issue, not our emotions? Use a timer. Silence that ends in reconnection can heal the relationship. Silence that ends in more silence destroys the relationship. Number two in communication and conflict, fighting fair. When you're arguing, how to fight fair. When does fighting, or what does fighting fair mean? It means fighting to fix the problem, not win. No yelling, no insults, no ancient grudges, no things that you go back in time and relive the past. In 90 Day Soulmate, we teach couples to say, I feel hurt when, instead of, you always do this. What to say and what to do. Stay on topic. If you're too angry, write down your thoughts and swap letters before you have a conversation. Healthy couples do fight, but they fight like a team, not like enemies. They want to come to a solution together and grow stronger together. When you resolve a fight together in a positive way, it builds trust that you can come to each other when there are those hard conversations, and trust that you'll come to a better, stronger understanding together. How about number three? We need to talk anxiety. If you've ever had that in a relationship where the partner says, hey, when you come home tonight, we need to talk. Wow, that builds anxiety. Why does it scare people? Why does we need to talk scare people so much? It's vague. It sounds like bad news. It's almost like a threat in a way. Victoria's ex would say that and then drop shocking confessions. It builds dread, not trust. Maybe they have something to confess, like cheating, or maybe they want to break up. But having that message hours before getting back together can be very scary. What to do? Be clear. Can we talk about our trip? Can we talk about something that went on at the office with my boss? Not just can we talk, be specific. I want to share something on my mind, something that lets the other person know what it might be about so they're not worrying about it before the meeting. Clarity calms fear. Surprises stir panic. We're always fearful of the unknown. Good talkers avoid mystery. That means couples that talk well together don't leave things mysterious as to what might this be about, unless it's a surprise party. Number four in communication and conflict is passive aggression. What's worse than yelling? Quiet revenge. Victoria once slammed every cabinet in the kitchen instead of saying she was upset. it made her partner feel confused and cornered. What to do instead? Name the feeling early. I'm frustrated because blank. Why? Can we talk about it later today? Now, two things. You've given them clarity, and you haven't done passive aggression by being quiet and being withdrawn. Small, honest words beat big, silent storms. Hidden anger always leaks out and is messier much later. And finally, five in this section is, how do we fight about dumb stuff and why do we do it? Victoria and her ex once fought about towels. But as you probably are well aware, when you fight about ridiculous things, it's usually not about those things. In this case, it wasn't about the towels. It was about feeling ignored that week. Petty fights hide deeper feelings. That makes sense. What to do? Pause and ask yourself, am I really mad about the dishes or do I feel unseen? Fix the root cause. The surface fight vanishes when you feel heard. Most fights are because of communication issues. Not feeling heard, not listening to the other person, talking with emotions and talking in anger rather than coming together and talking logically and calmly about the situation. When we come back, we've got more relationship tips for the soul.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate. We're talking about relationship tips for the soul, things that may help you in your relationship. Category four is modern dating realities, things that happen today that aren't the same as before, that give us a different way that we need to approach things. Dating app fatigue. Are you not dating yet, but you're trying to, and you're using the dating app? Are you exhausted from endless swiping? Swiping right, swiping left. I've been there. In 90 Days Soulmate, I do share how I was looking for a relationship, and I wasted hours online trying to meet somebody, anybody that I could connect with. Then I finally did meet Lizette. But it was only when I was clear about what I wanted and what I didn't want. I was being transparently honest for the first time on the dating app, putting in background information of what I wanted and what I didn't want and about myself. What to do if you're fatigued about using a dating app? One, take a break from the app for a couple of weeks. Go to events. Join a hobby group that you like and enjoy. Volunteer. Good people are offline too. Real connection prefers eye contact over thumb movement on top of a screen. So again, if you're having burnout from being on so many dating apps, get out in society doing things that you like to do with people who like to do those things. You just might find someone who matches you out in the real world. Number two in modern dating realities, the talking stage. How long should you just talk before it's real, before it's a real relationship? Too long and you're stuck texting a pen pal, email back and forth, text back and forth, never meeting. In 90 Day Soulmate, we explain that momentum matters. Words mean little without real effort. You might get a lot of texting back and forth. Try to actually connect to see if it's a real potential relationships, or not relationships, but to see if it's a real potential relationship. What to do? If it's been a few weeks without a plan, you might want to say to your partner or the person who's texting you, I like this. Can we meet in person? If they dodge more than one time, like twice, three times, don't answer you, stop replying. Serious people who are looking for a relationship make time. Lazy ones make excuses. How about tip number three in modern dating realities? Casual versus exclusive. Which do you want in your relationship? Should you define it or just go with the flow? In While Victoria Dreams, Victoria gave boyfriend benefits to a guy who kept her in maybe box. You know that old maybe box? Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's not. Well, when you give somebody the benefits of being your boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, and yet they're not really letting you know this is exclusive or it's casual, it can really break your heart if it's not what you want. Clarity can save you time and effort. What to do? If you want exclusive relationship, if you want to be in a one-person monogamous relationship, meaning just with one person, ask clearly, are we seeing other people? Or is this just us? Real people don't fear labels. They fear losing something real. So in a relationship, it's always good to clarify. Number three in dating realities, number four in dating realities, ghosting after intimacy. Oh my. Why does ghosting sting more after sex? Well, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? You've given, you've committed to that person for an intimate relationship, and maybe up till then you were having a connection. Because your heart and body now trust them after having that intimacy. In 90 Day Soulmate, we share stories where intimacy comes before clarity, and it leaves the people feeling used. Before being physical, ask, where is this relationship going? Listen closely. If they dodge commitment talk, don't give your body to confusion. You deserve honesty first. Good communication always gives better intimacy. And then number five in dating realities is, are situationships a trap? Are situationships modern freedom or modern heartbreak? Victoria stayed in one for 8 months, not quite dating, not quite friends, always hoping that he'd decide, but he never did. What to do in this kind of situation? Ask, what are we doing here? If they say, let's not label it. After months of being together, they're enjoying perks without any promises. Clarity protects your heart better than hoping. It all comes down to clarifying the relationship. When we come back, more relationship tips for the soul.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate. Today we're talking about relationship tips for the soul. Number five category of relationship tips is growth and self-love. Why? Number one, why you attract the wrong partners? Why do you keep picking the wrong ones? We all do. In 90 Day Soulmate, we share how self-worth shapes who you choose. When you feel unworthy, you attract people who prove you right. Broken attracts broken. Healthy attracts healthy. What to do? Write down your dream partner's top 10 qualities. In our book, we did 40. Actually, my wife did 40, Lizette. Rate yourself on all these qualities. If you want loyalty, Are you loyal to your partner? Are you loyal to yourself? If you want ambition, are you working on your own ambition? Become what you want to find. Your standard attracts your mirror. Number two, growth and self-love. Healing before dating again. Should you date right away or heal first? After a breakup, what to do? So sometimes after a breakup, we stay single on purpose. We travel alone, journal old relationships, what worked and what didn't work. Learn about our patterns in relationships. Learn to enjoy our own company. When you have this time in your life, you can rebuild your soul. When I met Lizette after going through this process myself, I was ready for a relationship. What to do? Take intentional time alone. In 90 Day Soulmate, we break this down step by step. Write your lessons, sit with your pain, forgive yourself for your misgivings, for your missteps. Forgive them. Heal so your next love doesn't have to bandage old wounds. You don't want to take wounds to a new relationship. Growth and self-love. Number three, lonely in a relationship. Have you ever felt lonelier next to somebody than alone? Victoria did. She'd lie awake beside this guy, yet feel miles apart. Emotional distance hurts more than physical miles. What to do? Do daily check-ins, 5 minutes. Phones away. So put your phones away and get connected with your partner. Ask, how's your heart today? Don't try to fix them. Just listen to them and how they feel. Small daily closeness stops drifting away from your partner. Don't just share a bed, share your soul, but with the right person. Sometimes we lie in bed and we're distant from the person and there's not a reason to get closer. Know the difference. And then our number four tip in growth and self-love, boundaries 101. Boundaries are important. Why are boundaries attractive? Are boundaries attractive? Before I learned about boundaries myself, I said yes too much about anything. I would hope it would prove my love. It would make me more connected to the person that I was dating. Over time, it builds resentment, however. In 90 Day Soulmate, we teach boundaries don't push people away. They teach them how to love you properly. Boundaries match you with your perfect person for you, or the perfect person for you. Not just the person you're trying to impress or win over. Sometimes we say yes early on in a relationship to try to win them over to us, to attract them from other competitors out there. But if that's not truly who we are, it just sets us up for failure. What to do? Practice saying no kindly to people. Protect your time, your energy, your phone space. The right person loves you more when you love yourself enough to draw lines. And then finally, five, overthinking text replies. I think this I did a lot, like when you start rewriting a text 7 times when you're trying to send a reply to somebody. Why do you panic when they don't text you back? Do you rewrite messages 4, 5, 6 times, worried that you might say too much or too little? In 90 Day Soulmate, we share, when someone likes you, they won't overthink your messages. If they're connected to you, whatever you say, they should be able to understand and respond. They'll just respond out of their open heart, out of easy, clear communication. If you're texting on eggshells, similar to walking on eggshells, then maybe this relationship isn't the right one for you. What to do? Reply once, honestly, to a text. If they wait hours or days, match their energy. No double texting. Hey, I haven't heard from you. Oh, I just making sure you got my last text. Good love is calm, not constantly trying to decode what the other person is saying. And when we come back, we're going to come into our sixth and final set of tips for relationships.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate, where we are talking about relationship tips for the soul, and we're into our sixth and final category, which is called Myths and Hot Takes. The 50-50 relationship myth. Is love always 50-50? No. Some say it's 80-20. Some say it's that. Some say it's 100-100. When Lizette is exhausted, I try to carry more of the relationship of what we need to do, and vice versa. When I am not feeling great, she takes a step up and helps me out, vice versa. It's not about equal effort every day. It's about equal commitment over time. It's that we're both putting 100% effort into the relationship and helping out where the other is maybe having a challenge at that point in time. What to do? Have honest talks. I need extra help this week doing X, Y, or Z. Can you cover dinner or do some errands? Good couples take turns carrying the heavy loads. Love is not a math problem. It's teamwork. It's taking care of everything together. Number two, myths and hot takes. Is soulmate realistic? Are soulmates real? I believe yes, because I found mine in Lizette. Not because I wished for magic. I got clear on what I needed, what I wanted in a relationship, what I wouldn't tolerate, and I said no to anything less than that. In 90 Day Soulmate, we show how clarity makes the right one easy to spot. What to do? Make a short, honest list of non-negotiables. Don't twist your standards to fit maybe. Your soulmate fits you. You don't shrink to fit them. In 90 Day Soulmate, Lizette had 40 items that she wanted in a relationship, and she found me, who fit all 40 items. Number three of myths and hot takes. The let them theory. Should you try to fix people? Victoria tried to change her ex for years. Wasted years trying to do it. In 90 Day Soulmate, we teach let them. If they ghost you, let them. If they lie, let them. It shows you who they are. Don't try to change them, but get out of the relationship. If their honest way of behavior doesn't fit what you want, don't continue the relationship. What to do? Your power is not to change them. Your power is to leave. Let them do what they do and decide what you will accept. And learn early in the relationship about these challenges. Number four of myths and hot takes. Do opposites really attract? Do opposites attract or repel? Lizette and I are different in hobbies and what we like to do, but identical in values. We're honest, we have faith, we're loyal. That's why it works, is common values. In 90 Day Soulmate, we warn that shared core values matter much more than shared hobbies. Who you are at a core determines what you will and will not accept from somebody who is like you in the future versus just what are the hobbies that are similar. So earlier we talked about find somebody who enjoys your hobbies, but make sure they have your same values. What to do? Enjoy differences in music, in movies, and food, but align on goals, on trust, on family vision. Opposites in taste are fun. You may learn more from each other, but opposites in principles hurt. And then finally, in hot takes and myths, bad relationship advice. What is the worst love advice? Play hard to get. Make them jealous. Many try this strategy in their early dating days. It never works. In 90 Day Soulmate, we prove games waste time. Honesty saves time. What to do? Be upfront. I like you. I'd like to get to know you more. If that honesty scares them off, then that's good. You've just saved months of pretending. Authenticity attracts real love. Always. Playing hard to get may make someone go after you to win you, but in the long run, they did it because of emotion and competitiveness, not truly connecting with you. Do you imagine that there's an alien creature living inside of you, controlling you, making you do everything that you choose to do? Your thoughts are not your own. Your emotions are not your own. Your essence is not your own. For 3.5 billion years on Earth, bacteria have been living here. Can you believe it?
Yes.
And you know where they are today? They are in our stomach. They're in our intestines. They may be controlling everything we do, and they may be using us as a host to survive, to gain food for them, for they can multiply, so they can travel where they need the right temperature to survive, the right food to survive.
Maybe they decide eat chocolate. Oh, why?
It's not my fault.
It's the bacteria fault.
It's the bacteria fault. Now I have someone to blame.
There you go.
What we're going to talk about today is shocking behavioral influences. Things that influence our behavior. Bacteria, epigenetics, and our prefrontal cortex. The expression of your genes can be triggered not only by your environment, not only by your family, but how about by your gut bacteria? Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
The gut bacteria and what they do and the chemistry that they create inside us is so powerful that it can actually make us do things without us even knowing. And what I mean by that is it controls our emotion. Maybe we're not feeling so good today. Maybe we're feeling unhappy, maybe depressed, maybe happy. You know what? Gut bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hungry today. Gut bacteria.
Yeah.
I've got a headache. I've got a cold.
Low energy.
Gut bacteria.
Yeah.
By the way, today's show wasn't going to start off with gut bacteria, but I just had this feeling.
What did you do last night?
I had this feeling. I don't know. I had this gut feeling. That's
okay.
To go on this.
I got
you. All right. You got me. So we're going to actually start off with a little bit of information that we took from our show that we did in October. I think it was October. What was it? October 15th of 2023, which was all about the gut. And that was really getting into how it's made, the different organs and different stuff. And we're going to put that aside because that's not as important as the bacteria itself. Yeah. So let's get started on this. Our tour. Bacteria, the first life on Earth, 3.5 billion years of evolution. Colonies of bacterial cells form biofilms and other ordered and complex superstructures. They adopt different survival strategies to make their life comfortable. Bacteria communicate with each other, and my argument that humans are simply a protective shroud to aid in the survival of bacteria. So the human body has 10 to the 14th microbes. That's individual bacteria. 10 to the 14th means one and then 14 zeros after it. There are 10 times more bacteria within our body than there are human cells. They are the important components of the microbiota ecosystem in the human gut, and there are over 1,000 species of bacteria in our body shortly after birth. Most of them, the majority of them, are unknown species. Did you know that?
No, I believe that somebody know about everybody.
But... Oh, there's like, hey, who are you? I don't know. Where did you come from? I don't know. I came across the border. Oh.
Oh, illegal. You know? Illegal bacteria.
No. Undocumented bacteria.
Okay.
Within a short time of birth, we are whittling down those 1,000 species to about 500. And they become our pattern, our personal pattern. This intestinal microbiota stabilizes to a more adult-like profile around 1 year of age. The ones that are most suited for our environment are the ones that survive. Composition of the gut bacteria community in the stomach and colon is distinctive for every human being. It basically becomes a personal fingerprint and a secret to personality, emotions, and how we see the world. Those are my expressions, by the way. I believe that the bacteria that we have in our gut, when you start to understand what it does, and we're going to get into the chemistry of gut bacteria in a little bit, but it does change our personality. It does influence our emotions. And because of those two things, it influences how we see the world. Mm-hmm. It influences our behavior. So we were talking about the gut bacteria being whittled down to these like 500 species after about a year. They are the most likely ones to survive. And it's like kind of symbiotic in a way, right? Because you're eating things that they like, you're living in an environment they like. Mm-hmm. But now think about family stress.
Yeah.
The stress in your family, the interactions, the other chemicals that you get released into your body because of your environment influences the chemistry of your gut and therefore influences the survival of certain bacteria.
It's a cycle. Yeah.
So it is. It can be a cycle that goes up, building strength, or it can tear you down. It's just like if you're eating really bad stuff and it's killing off good stuff in your stomach, it can be a downward cycle, just like we're talking about it being an upward cycle. Gut bacteria, you know what it does? It produces serotonin in the digestive tract. So 90% of the body's serotonin comes from the digestive tract. The gut alters the availability of tryptophan, impacting serotonin synthesis in the brain, and that impacts our mood and behavior. It also produces short-chain fatty acids, which promote the growth and function of the cells, which are rich sources of serotonin in the gut. Increased serotonin availability in the neonatal gut can improve the immune tolerance of the child. So these things are all positive things, but if you take it the other way, if you do it the opposite, it becomes negative.
If you create so much, you can have low defense.
Immune system.
Immune system.
And in fact, I want to go back to that, is the gut itself is the first protection to an invasion of viruses and other bacteria. Imbalances in gut microbiota can disrupt communication between the brain and the gut. By the way, the gut produces a lot of the chemicals the brain uses. It can lead to mental health disorders like anxiety, depression, and neurodevelopmental conditions. Insufficient serotonin levels in the gut can also cause physical symptoms like diarrhea, constipation, bloating, and cramping. How do you think you're going to get along on a day when you're bloating, cramping, and have diarrhea?
So I remember one part of my life when I have a lot of stress, I have gastritis, you know, and this is the bit, and I went to many doctors, take a lot of medicine, and I discovered it for myself, they need to sleep more because I sleep almost 4 hours per day.
Almost that much?
That much.
Wow.
Because I was a strong lady, and then I figured out sleeping 8 or 10 hours, I start to feel better.
And then you get back to 6 or 7 or 8 later on.
Yeah. But that's the gut told you.
Says, hey, your gut tells you you got to settle down and take care of it.
Yeah.
The survival of the gut. Right. It makes you sick when you're not taking care of it. And that's actually true. If you're not taking care of your gut, it can't take care of you. That ends our set of 6 categories, 30 tips, relationship tips for the soul. And again, we went over red flags and deal breakers, trust and betrayal, communication and conflict, modern dating realities, growth and self-love, and finally, the myths and hot takes. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Look forward to getting back with you next week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.